This is OTB AM.
That's a load of nonsense. Because he's English, he's led Liverpool to a Champions League and he's led him to a Premiership title for the first time in 30 years. It's because he's English. That is outrageous to say that. Well, if you're looking for an headline, then there you go. That's it. It's all that. That's
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, so Ireland Active Fitness Day is happening on September 24th, and it's going to see people across the country getting involved in a host of free activities in leisure centres and gyms. Schools, workplaces and exercise professionals are also getting in on the action as well. Aidan O'Mahony is an Ireland Active Ambassador. And you're also a strength and conditioning coach. We were chatting with Senny Naupu earlier on about how there seems to be a greater interest and a countrywide fascination with exercise over the last little while. Is that something you've seen firsthand, people wanting to get fitter than they've ever been before?
I think so, yeah. I think especially with the lockdown, I think when the lockdown started, you might have a lot of idle minds, and I think we're living in a kind of a world at the moment where we talk a lot about mental health and even that mindset. I know for myself, like, I use the fitness side of it because obviously, number one, I've used it all my life, but you know, I think that enjoyment you get from it. And I just think during the lockdown, I think you've seen people walking, running, you know, getting up and getting out that you might have seen before. And I just think it's very important, and getting that habit of getting into fitness, you know, it's, as I said, it's very important for people's mindset. And you know, as I said, the last couple of months have been very strange, and I suppose we've been into the unknown where we've never been before. And, you know, that can be very tough on people that are working and, you know, all of a sudden that you're at home and you have nothing to do. Like, so I think fitness is just a key part that it goes hand in hand with mental health as well.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people would have taken up either running or sea swimming or cycling or something like that. And it will have been new for them and they would have got fit maybe for the first time in a while. And there's an excitement about that. For someone like you, how did you manage to find that excitement? Because you didn't have team sport. I'd assume that running 5K around the block doesn't quite cut it for you.
Yeah, I suppose the great thing, Owen, during the lockdown, there was challenges week in, week out, and no different to everyone. We're all a bit competitive, so there was people trying to break 5Ks, running back roads and up and hills and downhills. But the one thing I find is that when I finished playing football, like everyone talks about that void, and like obviously it came out and the start of the fitness business. And I think when you're running a fitness business like this, you have to be kind of part of what you preach as well. And look, I love it. It's part of me, as I said, a healthy mind is a healthy body. And I just, during the lockdown, I started running 5Ks, 10Ks. You know, I think I did a video out in the rain there that I was nearly carried in the white jacket because of it. I had all my equipment out the back and I had two young kids at home, so I'm not going to be leaving the equipment indoors because, you know, but there are two girls now to start going at it and get the hospital with broken toes and broken fingers. But yeah, look, I just think that, like, from the GA side of it, when it was taken away, like, you need something to kind of replace that. And I just think the fitness side, like, I started getting into 5Ks and 10Ks in the last couple of years, basically because I'm a people always say, I shouldn't do that because it won't be good for the knees now. And, you know, you're playing football, so you'll be no good at doing that. And I loved it. I loved that challenge of it. And even when the lockdown kind of opened up there, I took up open water swimming. And basically the question you've asked me there, like, the reason I took it up was because it was something I could never see myself doing. I have a fear of water. I was kind of telling myself, you have two young kids at home and they'll be learning to swim at their schools, and you might be going holidays, and it's a very bad sign if their dad can't get into the water to mind their kids. So I took that leap to get a wetsuit and to go back to Phoenix and start open water swimming. Now, as everyone said, the first couple of weeks, geez, it's going great for you. And I see the pictures on your socials and I was saying, it's going great because I'm standing in 3 foot of water and I can get up and down in 3 foot of water every day. And I think it was like the 10th lesson, my coach said to me, right, we'll go out there now to the first marker out there, which is maybe 100 or 150 feet. And I just said to him, no. And he said, what's wrong with you? And I just said, I can't. He said, what are you afraid of? And I was there, like, everything. Like if a piece of seaweed rubbed off me in the water, I was saying, Jesus, what's that? And we kind of think of jaws and these kind of things. And just that fear, that kind of fear of taking that leap, and I just couldn't do it. And I remember going home and just saying to Denise, my wife, just I couldn't do it. I froze. It was always in my mind, like, it was hard, number one, to start breathing in the water. It was something totally indifferent to me, and I was trying to make up every excuse that it was the asthma that was catching me. And then the following day, he just said to me, right, I'm going to go get my goggles there. I'm going to swim out. And I just said to myself, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. And I did. And just that relief. And as you speak there about people starting up something new, just that joy you get out of just doing something new and breaking a barrier is unreal. No matter if you get off the couch and walk out the door and do 10 steps, when you just do something new and you just break that kind of duct in it, it's a great feeling. Now, I won't be swimming in the Olympics or doing anything ridiculous like that anytime soon. But it's just that joy of doing something new. And look, I know that I'm always trying something different. Maybe it's that little bit of madness in me, but I enjoy that testing myself.
How do you find that ability to actually cross that barrier? Some people listening may see, oh, that's easy, swimming out 100 feet away from the shore. Some people will be absolutely on your side and more on that side, absolutely terrified of the prospect of setting foot into the water. And that may manifest itself in other ways for people, as you say, actually trying to run outside their front door and run in public could actually be the thing that terrifies people. Do you have something in your head that you think about or a trigger that you go to when you are trying to cross those sort of barriers?
Yeah, so look, I knew day one when I went out in the water, like I knew I wouldn't be going deep, and plus the wetsuit kind of keeps you off that buoyancy in it. But there was a funny thing about Phoenix, the crabs were coming into de-shell, and in the first 5 or 6 lessons, I wasn't getting, the distance weren't going too well, and the coach would be saying, like, well, why are you stopping now when you're grasping for air? Obviously, I wasn't breathing properly, number one. And the second thing then, after maybe about a half an hour to lesson, he was like, Jesus, he said, all of a sudden, he said, you're getting great lengths in your stride and you're going good long distance. And the lesson finished and I just said to him, look, I said, I'll be honest with you now. I said, every time I looked down the water, I could see the crabs underneath me. And I was afraid to put down my feet. It was just swimming into my life. See, would I get a small piece of sand that I could actually put down my feet? So it's amazing when you come into your mind. But I just think the mindset for me was that, obviously, as I said, my kids are at home and like I want to be able to get into a pool and know they're safe. And I just think that, like, I still have that fear. Like I swam out first by whatever it's called. And Jesus, like I swam in, like I was in the Olympics. I couldn't get in quick enough just to get my feet back on the ground. Like, and that was my biggest fear. Like, number one, not knowing what's underneath you. And like, as someone says, look, there's nothing inside the sea that's going to do any harm to you. But as I said, it's just that fear of the unknown, and where it wasn't something I'd done before. Maybe I probably got a fright as well, like where I'd probably tried to get swimming lessons before and I'd jumped into deep and I got a fright and I didn't go back in since.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably always, you should practice what you preach, but probably facing your fears. It took me till I was nearly 40 years of age to face that fear. I know I still have it. Like, it's just kind of every day just trying to get that bit further. And I've kind of set myself a challenge for the end of September of doing a triathlon. Now, I didn't realize the last 2 weeks that the waters were closed down in Kerry, so I couldn't get out to swim. I think the furthest I've gone is 150 meters. So I'd say if I do the triathlon at the end of September, there'd be a boat or a dinghy very nearby to try maybe a few hundred meters as well.
It's interesting that you're talking about doing a triathlon at the moment. I've also seen in your social media you've taken up Olympic weightlifting, essentially. Like, people, like, you're still a footballer, first and foremost, like your current club footballer, Aidan O'Mahony. How do you find that actually impacts you on your football? Because you've alluded to the fact that people advise against doing certain things for your knees and the aches and aging and all that sort of thing. Is that sort of thing actually complimenting you on the pitch, do you find?
Oh, absolutely. I was probably looking enough for Jason McGahan, who's over the head of, I suppose, development in Kerry now at the moment, where he brought in a group for us at the start of the year and introduced us to the UKSCA, and we had someone come over and they started giving demos. And like, I put up a post there, I think 2 or 3 days ago, where I showed myself, like, to be very honest with people as well, like, that these things don't happen overnight. And I put up a post where I had the overhead bar the very first day, and like, my depth was just ridiculous. And like, you talk about inter-county players now, like, you need all those, like, whether it's catching a ball in the air or just your mobility. It's come really to the top again. Where I just started out, there was no talk about mobility or movement. Now they're at the forefront in your warm-ups and all these things. And I just see the Olympic lifting now where, like, I'm still playing the club and probably fortunate enough that I'm captain of my club this year. As I said, they're probably saying, we'll give him captaincy this year now, so we actually get rid of him. He might take where we finally go. But I actually feel like a young fellow, and might be a mad thing to say, but like every night I go training and we're kind of in the running block at the moment, I gear myself that I want to be up the front. And that's been all year. And I find with the Olympic lifting now at the moment that suddenly something new has hit the body where I have more movement, I have more mobility. Yes, I'm getting older and the legs aren't as quick as what they were before. But there's that kind of mindset thing of it as well, where you're doing something new. And even with the swimming as well, I think they go kind of hand in hand, where I find myself now, like, I go in, I do a hard session with the club. I go into the water the following day and I'll do my swimming lesson, and I'll find that's good for recovery. I go out in the following day, I'll do my Olympic lifts. And I just think at the moment that I'm looking to do it, and I just think with the lockdown as well, where I've seen where all those things are taken away from you and you're on your own a lot. And I loved, like, I suppose, being involved in the GA, that collective side of it. And now that I'm back at it, I'm not giving out about it. I just enjoy doing it. And I know there's going to be a time where, like, the club scene obviously will be number one, where you'll be saying, look, it's time to kind of, you need to walk away from it. And there's probably a lot of people saying it, but they're not saying it to my face. But I'm really enjoying it at the moment. And I love the training side of it. So look, I'm happy to keep doing what I'm doing.
You said there, obviously, that things have changed quite a bit in GAA circles over the years, where you can really appreciate how somebody doing that sort of weightlifting would benefit them in today's day and age. And I'm sure there are plenty of current intercounty footballers as well doing exactly what you're doing as well to try and get that edge. When did you realise that intercounty football had actually taken that step up? Was there a particular off-season or something that you remember?
Yeah, like my biggest thing when I was getting older was obviously 2012 or 13, where I was finding myself, we'll say from 2010 when I was starting to maybe 2011, where Dublin, I suppose, broke up that time on the All-Ireland. And then 12 and 13, like, if you're reading a lot of literature now and stuff and strength and conditioning and sports science, and I can see this now, even this wasn't there back then, but my thinking that time was, you go back with your club in September, October, and then you'd have your off-season. And that was my time where I said to myself, right, I have an off-season here now. I'll go away on my own. I'll eat up the gym and I'll eat up running. And then when I come back in the pre-season, plenty of people you'll interview now and they'll talk about, well, when you made it into county scene in 2017 or 2018, how would you find? They'll say, oh, the manager said to me that if I get the jersey day one and I play well in it, then it's mine for championship. So I got into that mindset of my off-season was my main season, where I needed to train harder than anyone else, do it myself. And then when I came into the league, and people always ask, geez, why do you keep playing the league? Because that's your shop window. That's where you put your hand up and you start playing well and say, you know, Aidan O'Mahony might have had a good year the last year, but geez, he's absolutely flying the league here. And he's made that jersey his own. And next, all of a sudden, you're starting championship. I think it's gone full circle in football, where you might have no off-season now. Like, as I said, that off-season is, for me, when I was getting older, that was my season where I kind of went to war with myself and really put in the hard yards and worked myself probably harder than I would have in pre-season. And I was ready then, and I was ahead of probably the rest. Well, what I taught myself and my mind would be saying, you're ahead of the rest, but then they'd catch up eventually. But you'd be kind of saying to yourself, hopefully I'll have enough done here now to kind of put down a stake for a jersey or something like that. Like, but I just think that the off-season was just key for me.
That's very interesting. There's one last thing I wanted to just put to you, Aidan. I realize I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but last year we had Tommy Welsh on the show, and he was talking about the top five strongest hurlers he's ever come up against. So I think Tommy Welsh would be a good judge of that. Given your expertise in strength and conditioning, who would you have in that bracket in terms of footballers that you've come up against, the strongest, the best conditioned footballers you've come up against?
Mm-hmm. Like, I suppose from a Kerry point of view, and I'm probably missing out on fellas here now, but like, you probably pick David Moore, and like, he's a colossal of a unit. Obviously himself and Tommy Walsh, we fit that. But I've seen Tommy in the gym, and that's Tommy Walsh from Kerry. Like, it's just frightening, unnatural strength. And like, probably like intercounty of lads I've marked, you live the likes of, look, Michael Murphy. Like, you were talking there about natural strength as well, but like, I know, like, he's a great guy off the pitch. But you'd know when that guy goes training and he does his own work that like it's 110%, and you just see it in games because he gets plenty of attention. He's well able to, like, for a forward in the modern game, Another guy you have to see is Andy Moore. That's why he's such longevity in his career as well. Like, and you see him even there last weekend again. You know, you put that cuteness to with that fitness side of it, and like, and that's the element that has brought him on. Other fellas, obviously you've Aidan O'Shea, is another guy. You were talking about natural strength, and when you put strength and conditioning onto an athlete, it just brings them to a different level. And I suppose if I don't mention the Dublin fellas, I'd be shot. A fella I'd have admired for Dublin for years is James McCarthy. I just love his style of football. I love the way he plays. If he plays around the edge, he's a beautiful footballer, and he's a Rolls Royce for footballer as well, the way he runs. And I just think he's kind of cut, and his strength has gone to a different level. And if I'm going to put a second player with him, I'd put Conor Cannon. You'd see the difference. Like, people commenting last year about the size. It has taken nothing away from his game. And I go on, I suppose you look back at my time, when I got trapped that time, like, last people say, he put on too much conditioning, he's doing too much in the gym. And when you don't have the science to back it up, or you don't have an athlete, like, which I'd be talking about myself, to kind of say, Jesus, yeah, he's actually right. I was doing too much in the gym. That's why I wasn't picked, instead of giving myself a kick up the arse and kind of saying, you know, you need to bring something new to your game. These fellas are, and every year, like, as I said, Conor Gannon probably realised the first year, you know, I've had a massive year here. But if I want to go to the next level and keep the fellas from behind me catching up, I need to put on strength and conditioning and just add to speed with that. And that's what coaches do now. They're so well, I suppose, educated, and you've, like, if you even look at social media on, you nearly educate yourself on what you need to do. I suppose the biggest things from inter-county is that you're peaking at the right times. But, like, those players I named, like, they have brought that to their games, where they enjoy the contact side, no different to what I do myself. Like, obviously, as a defender, sometimes when you miss the contact, it doesn't bear too good for you what happens behind you. But, I just think it's gone to different. Like, and you can imagine over the next couple of years, you know, it's always going to go full circle. There's going to be something new brought in.
Yeah. Did you always feel that Dublin were a step ahead of everybody else in that department? Or what was your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't think they were a step ahead, but I just think they don't believe in athletes. You know, if you look at their, like, half-back line, you know, the likes of Keane O'Sullivan, James McCarthy, and Jack McCaffrey, like, I'd love to know what they run 100 metres in, you know, because they are absolutely frightening athletes, you know. So, like, they probably had the best of both worlds when you put conditioning on them then as well, like, you bring them to a different level again. So I just think they're, like, you look at Brian Finton. You know, people always spoke about him, about, like, his swimming ability, that he was at the top of his chain and swimming, like, and you could see that with his catching and his overall game as well, like, mobility has, and, you know, he's just a massive engine. So they're blessed with athletes. But, yes, like, you're probably right that they have a structure in place there, and, like, the likes of Brian Cullen come in, and these guys that have brought them to a new level as well. Like, and, you know, when you've players come in, you're winning, and you've success like that on as well, you're always looking over your shoulder. When I spoke there about your off-season, you probably have those players that are winning 3 or 4 Irelands in the last couple of years. They want to be involved the next year, so they're going to a different level again.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Aidan, it's been great chatting with you today. Just a reminder that Ireland Active Fitness Day is happening on September 24th, so make sure to check that out. And when is your big triathlon?
So it's the I wouldn't say it's a big triathlon, if I can do one in Valencia, I'm going to do one in Phoenix, and I'm going to rope in my colleagues now while I'm talking to you. So what I'm going to do is, look, someone said to me there, Wanda, they said, how is the bike and the running going? And I just said to him, I haven't done the bike and I haven't done the running. And they were like, why not? And I said, if I can't get out of the water, the bike isn't going to be much good to me. So please, Lord, like, hopefully at the end of September, there might be a charity event or something that will raise a few pounds for, and I get out to Phoenix and I'll do my 750 metres and get on the bike and get on the running. I'll get through that part all right once I get out of the water.
Very good. So you can ask Brian Fenton for a few swimming lessons anyway if you get stuck.
I'll rope him in. If it was December, he'd be ideal. I might wait till December and he might.
All right. Thanks a million, Aidan. Take care.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.